Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Talk about an efficient investigation. I mean, does it get much more efficient than this? Almost 30 years to the day of the shooting and the death of Tupac Shakur. Someone's finally been convicted. Only took 30 years and him going on podcasts, talk shows, writing books, saying it to anyone who would listen. For the person who's allegedly responsible, who is responsible, convicted now of being responsible for handing the gun to Orlando Anderson and saying, do your thing. Only took 30 years. We're going to go through the verdict here. What happened in that courtroom as this moment, 30 years in the making, has finally come about. And where does it leave us? Where does it leave us at the end of the day? Is this justice? As everybody wants to go for justice for this, justice for that. Is this justice for Tupac Shakur? On one side of a Las Vegas courtroom on August 31st of 2026. Remember, it was 1996 when all of this story started. If you were just joining us, I was about 15. Sekwiyosset Shakur cried quietly and reached for the person behind her. Tupac's sister. On the other side, Duane Kefidi Davis raised his fist towards the gallery as he was led away. Between them, a verdict. Guilty. First degree murder with use of a deadly weapon and the killing of Tupac Shakur. Took the jury only about 3 hours. The defense's closing argument had lasted almost two. The jury was faster than the lawyer by almost was. Not a great defense. Our client's a liar. That's pretty much all we got. He admitted all, yeah, he's full of shit, though. I mean, can you want to believe he's full of shit or you want to believe he's not? Yeah. Davis is 63 years old. He's the only person ever charged in Tupac's murder. He's now the only person ever convicted. Sentencing is set for October 13th. His son was in the courtroom when the verdict was read and covered his face with one hand. He told the judge he plans to appeal. He also asked for his phone and laptop back. Davis has been held without bail since his arrest in September of 2023, nearly 3 years in the Clark County Detention Center, waiting for a trial that lasted 9 days and a verdict that took 3 hours. Most murder convictions are built on physical evidence, a weapon, DNA, surveillance footage, a phone record that puts someone in the wrong place. This had none of that, mainly because at the time of the crime, none of that really existed as a possibility. The idea in 1996 of, let's go to the phone record, let's see where it's been tracking you at, was like, what? You're going to do what? What are you talking about, huh? Your phone's going to track you? What are you, nuts? It's a phone. Huh? Wasn't a thing. DNA technology. Also, not extremely new at the time, but a hell of a lot more behind where we are today. Go watch an Unsolved Mysteries episode from 1996 or Forensic Files and see how futuristic they're talking about the technology. It'll take you back. The 40 caliber Glock allegedly used in the shooting has never been recovered. The white Cadillac, the car prosecutors say Davis was riding in, has also never been found. Can you imagine if you're in possession of either of those things today? And I'm sure they were probably disposed of at the time. But what kind of cash that those objects might pull in for someone wanting to put them in a museum? No phone records place Davis in Las Vegas on September 7th, 1996. No receipts, no surveillance footage. Investigators found a hotel bill at Davis's home during a police search, but it was undated and nobody can account for where that evidence is actually now. Suge Knight, the man who was driving the BMW when the shots came through, the only surviving eyewitness to the shooting, refused to cooperate with either side throughout the case. Knight has been in a California prison since 2018 on an unrelated voluntary manslaughter conviction. He would not talk to prosecutors and would not talk to the defense either. After the verdict, prosecutors dropped the gang enhancement from the charge. Chief Deputy DA Binu Palal told the court it was due to witness logistics. A former officer who would have testified for about 10 to 15 minutes had logistical issues that prevented it from happening. Thank your lucky stars, Keefe. Although it doesn't really change a lot. The conviction stands as first-degree murder with use of a deadly weapon. What the jury did have was Keefe's own voice. And at the end of the day, turns out your own voice and your own words are one of the most damning things you can have against you in court. Four recorded statements spanning 18 years, a memoir and video of Davis promoting that memoir as the real truth. The real truth, everybody, right here. Come see it. The prosecution's entire case was built from one man's words aimed right back at him. Everything else was context. The first statement was a 2008 federal proffer interview. A proffer, it works like this. A defendant facing serious charges sits down with law enforcement and tells them what he knows about other crimes and other people. In exchange, the government agrees not to use those specific words against defendants in its own case. Wink, wink. Most attorneys will be like, don't do that. Don't do that. There's a lot of loopholes in proffer agreements. Sometimes they're not even on paper. But he did. The catch is that the defendant has to tell the truth. That's the price of the deal. If he lies, the deal is off and the statements can be used against him. Davis was facing a life sentence in a federal drug case when he sat down for the proffer. So it was kind of like, well, take this. It's not the most secure agreement. but it gets you off on the drug charges, and they're telling you they're not going to go after you for these other ones if you talk about them to them for that investigation. Notice they didn't say, go write a book. Go do a podcast. Go just tell anyone and everyone this story over and over and over and over about how you basically told us about one of the most infamous murders in history and we did nothing about it. Go tell everybody about that. That won't have any sort of repercussions. Wink, wink. That might actually trigger something. And it did. He told federal agents he was in the Cadillac on September 7th of 1996. He told them he obtained the gun from a man named Eric Zip Martin. He told them his nephew Orlando Anderson fired the shots that killed Tupac Shakur. The second statement was a 2009 interview with Las Vegas Metro Police Detectives. Retired Detective Dan Long, who conducted the interview, later testified for the defense that he could not independently verify Davis was in the Cadillac, not without relying on what Davis himself had said. The third was a 2017 Death Row Chronicles documentary on BET. The fourth was his 2019 memoir, Compton Street Legend. The defense fought to have the memoir excluded from the evidence. The book carries a disclaimer saying some facts were changed. Some. Judge Carly Kearney ruled the statements admissible, finding that Davis had adopted the material as his own by repeatedly promoting it as the real truth. During the trial, prosecutors played a clip of Davis on video doing exactly that, selling the book as the true account of what happened. Chief Deputy DA Palal built his closing argument around those four formats. Davis's accounts on that night had evolved over the years. Palal acknowledged sometimes he named the shooter, sometimes he wouldn't, but Palal argued one detail never moved. In every version across nearly two decades, Davis placed himself inside that white Cadillac. Then Palal delivered the line the prosecution has been building towards. He held up the memoir and told the jury that O.J. Simpson wrote a book called If I Did It. Dwayne Davis, Palal told them, wrote the book I Did It. O.J. hedged. Davis did not. Palal argued premeditation. The group searched for Shakur before spotting him on the road and making a U-turn. A plan, Palal said, not an impulse. And Palal closed with one ask. For nearly 18 years, Davis has told police, television networks, book authors, YouTube interviewers, and anyone who would listen that he is responsible for the murder of Tupac Shakur. Tell him you hear him by finding him guilty. 3 hours later, they did. Defense attorney Michael Snapp's closing ran almost 2 hours, though longer than his entire case presentation. When you only got so much to work with, He'd called three witnesses in a single afternoon, all former law enforcement officers. His argument was that every word Davis ever said about the killing was fiction. Snapp pointed to the inconsistencies across the four recordings and the book. In some accounts, Davis describes seeing Shakur hanging out the car window, waving to fans. Witnesses at trial testified they didn't see that. He picked up Compton Street Legend and read an excerpt aloud while reading from the text. He said the N-word in the courtroom. People in the overflow room recoiled. He compared the case to the Titanic. The ship sinking is historical fact, he argued, but the stories people tell about it are fiction. There are no facts to point to Keefe, Snaff told the jury. Not one. The paradox the fiction defense couldn't escape is this. If Davis lied in 2008, he lied to federal agents in a proffer where telling the truth was the deal. He was trying to avoid a life sentence in a drug case. Fabricating a murder confession to federal agents is its own federal crime. The defense needed 12 people to believe that Davis risked more prison time to invent a murder confession for leverage in a drug case, and then repeated that story to police a year later, to documentarians 8 years after that, and in a book under his own name 11 years after the proffer. The rebuttal, the prosecutor said, told the jury Davis was trying to beat them. Prosecutor called the case a slam dunk and told the jury not to turn their verdict into a referendum on whether investigators should have charged Davis sooner. The question, the prosecutor argued, is what Davis said and whether the jury believes it. 3 hours, that's how long they needed. Davis told federal agents what he did in 2008 and no arrest followed. Las Vegas detectives interviewed him in 2009 and no arrest followed. He appeared in a nationally broadcast documentary in 2017 describing the shooting and still no one charged him. Then published a memoir in 2019 and promoted it on video as the real truth and nothing happened. The grand jury indictment came in 2023. The arrest came on September 29th of that year, 27 years after the murder, 15 years after the proffer. Davis was walking near his home in Henderson, Nevada, when police took him into custody. Trial lasted 9 days, more than 24 prosecution witnesses and 3 defense witnesses, then 3 hours of deliberation and a conviction on first-degree murder was the case that they gave you. The evidence that convicted Davis on August 31st existed in a federal file in 2008. Davis wasn't hiding. He was on camera, on bookshelves, in police interview rooms, in documentary studios. He wasn't a fugitive, and he wasn't quiet. Every year between 2008 and 2023 is a year the state of Nevada had a recorded confession from a man who described his role in the killing of Tupac Shakur. 15 years of a man telling everyone who would listen what he did, and the system didn't act on it. Here's what I've noticed in years of covering true crime. Authorities don't like being embarrassed. They don't necessarily like people calling them out or pointing out, hey, this person's confessing to one of the biggest unsolved murder cases of the last century. Why don't you do anything about it? And when you have no good answer, other than, I don't know why we don't do anything about it. Things sometimes happen. Sometimes you gotta apply the pressure. Apply the pressure from the outside through media, through all of this stuff to get things to happen. And sometimes pointing out those pain points, those embarrassment points, those things like, why didn't you do the obvious here? Like arresting the man that's consistently talking about murdering Tupac has seemingly the whole story, information nobody else really has. Why hasn't anything been done? Well, turns out, if you just give it 30 years, things might get done. The jury needed 3 hours to reach that guilty verdict. The system needed nearly 30 years to bring the case to trial. The verdict answered the question of whether Keefe D did it. Why it took so long for anyone to ask is a different question, and nobody in that courtroom can answer it. September 13th marks 30 years since Tupac Shakur died in a Las Vegas hospital at 25 years old. It's been longer now than his entire lifespan. The only person ever convicted in his murder raised his fist on the way out of the courtroom. On the other side of the room, his sister was still crying. So where does that take us? Where does that take us next in the Tupac Shakur murder saga? Is Diddy next? That's the big question everyone has. We're going to try and answer that. Got another video coming up. If you're watching this as we're releasing, another one tomorrow on the feed. And we're going to dive into that very question. Press subscribe if you're curious. Because we'll take a deep dive into that lane. Does this conviction change anything over there? To where Diddy, who's always said, I had nothing to do with this. These are all rumors. These are all lies that I'm connected. It's all BS. That's where he stands today. But on the record, Keefe D, the man who's now convicted of being part of the murder of Tupac Shakur, part of his story, is that he was offered $1 million to make it happen, but never collected. So what is that? Is that part of the story, part of the tale? And if it is, well, I guess we just believed the tale. We convicted him. We put him away. So what parts of the tale do we believe and do we not believe? And more importantly, what can actually be prosecuted in the court of law? We're going to talk about that tomorrow. So press subscribe as we continue the discussion on the murder of Tupac Shakur. I don't know that the case is closed yet. Not sure. You tell me your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Links are in the description. We'll continue our conversation right there. Take the podcast with you. There's the QR code on the screen. Scan it. Take us with you wherever you get podcasts. We'd appreciate that. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
All right, the big question everybody's asking, and we've talked about this before, but we haven't talked about it since there's been a conviction in the death of Tupac Shakur. What does it mean that Keefe D has been convicted for the murder of Tupac for Sean Diddy Combs? His name came up a lot in this trial. But does it mean anything? Will this go anywhere? We're going to talk about that today. I'd love to get your thoughts in the comment section as we work our way through this tangled mess. A retired Los Angeles police detective sat in a Las Vegas courtroom and told a jury that Dwayne Keefe D. Davis claimed Sean Diddy Combs was supposed to funnel $1 million through a Harlem intermediary named Eric Zip Martin. In payment, according to Davis, so the murder of Tupac Shakur, the detective Darren Dupree testified that Davis told investigators Combs solicited the killing during a conversation at Greenblatt's Deli in Los Angeles. The money was supposed to flow from Combs to Zip Martin to Davis. It allegedly never arrived. Members of Tupac's family were sitting in the courtroom when Dupree said it. Sources close to Combs responded within hours. He had absolutely nothing to do with it. That's been their stance. It still is today. He's denying everything to do with this. That exchange, allegation from the witness stand, denial from the other side, has been happening in different forms for nearly two decades. Davis first made the claim to police in 2008. Combs has never been charged. He's never been a suspect. And Las Vegas police have publicly said he has never been considered one. If there's enough to say it in open court, the obvious question is why there has never been enough to do anything about it. The answer is a single word most people have never had to think about in a courtroom. And once you understand it, you'll understand exactly why nothing has happened and whether it ever could. The claim starts back in 2008. Davis was facing federal drug charges in Los Angeles. Investigators use that leverage to get him into a room. A proffer is an agreement where a suspect provides information to law enforcement, and in exchange, investigators agree not to use his specific statements against him. Wink, wink. Obviously, they did. It is sometimes called a queen for a day session. The detective running the interview, LAPD's Greg Kading, told Davis on tape, nothing you say can be used against you. The session was originally about the 1997 murder of Christopher Wallace, notorious B.I.G. Davis started talking about Tupac instead. Wait a second, we're not talking about that, but you're what? You did what? In that interview, Davis told investigators that Combs pulled him aside at Greenblatt's Deli on Sunset Boulevard and told him he had a couple of problems he needed handled, naming Tupac and Suge Knight. Davis alleged Combs said something to the effect of, I would give anything for those dudes' heads. The alleged offer, according to Davis, $1 million, routed through his associate, Zip Martin. Davis claims he told his crew Combs would pay for the hit. Then comes the part that matters for what happened next. The alleged payment never arrived. Davis says he tried to collect from Zip Martin after the murder. Martin told him Combs had not paid. Sorry. Davis said he tried to reach Combs directly. The phone calls went unanswered. In his own words in the 2008 tape, I wish I never met Puff Daddy, period. He messed up my life, man. Yeah. Or you should have just said, no, I don't really want to go kill someone for money. I don't know. That might have been another choice, another option you had. Investigators took the claim seriously enough to act on it. In 2009, Davis traveled to New York as a confidential police informant with a specific assignment, verify the Combs connection and rekindle his relationship with Zip Martin. The goal was to get Martin talking about the money that allegedly passed from Combs to Martin and never reached Davis. The operation produced no usable evidence. But Davis didn't stop talking. He repeated versions of the same account in the 2009 follow-up interview with Las Vegas Police in a BET documentary series in 2018 and in a memoir in 2019 called Compton Street Legend. He said it on YouTube. He said it to anyone with a camera or a microphone. So why did nobody act on it? Well, the answer is coordination and corroboration. To charge a person with murder conspiracy based on what a cooperating witness says, prosecutors need something independent that confirms the claim, a payment record, a contemporaneous witness, a recording of the request, financial documents tracing the money. For the Combs allegation, specifically, every potential corroborating witness happens to be dead. Eric Zip Martin, the alleged intermediary who was supposed to deliver the money, died in 2012 from cancer. Orlando Baby Lane Anderson, the man Davis says fired the shots that killed Tupac, was killed in an unrelated gang shooting at a Compton car wash in 98. He was 23. DeAndre Big Dre Smith, who was in the back seat of the white Cadillac next to Anderson, died in 04. Terrence Bubble Up Brown, who was driving the Cadillac, was killed in a shooting at a Compton medical marijuana dispensary in 2015. Every person Davis places in the chain between Combs and the bullet, dead. No financial records tracing $1 million payment have surfaced in 30 years. No surveillance from the alleged meeting at Greenblatt's Deli exists. The murder weapon has never been recovered. The white Cadillac was never found. There's no physical evidence connecting Combs to the shooting, to the car, to the gun, or to the alleged payment. A claim without a second source, without a paper trail, without a living witness who can put Combs in the room is not a prosecutable case. It is a story told by one man. As much as you wish it was something else. Court documents in the Keefe D case reference Combs roughly 77 times across his various names. A Netflix documentary produced by 50 Cent, released in late 25, entitled Sean Combs, The Reckoning, put the bounty claim in front of millions. Kirk Burrows, who co-founded Bad Boy Records with Combs, said that in the documentary, he believes Combs was involved in Tupac's death. In April of 26, Tupac's stepbrother, Maurice Mopreme Shakur, filed a wrongful death lawsuit in Los Angeles County Superior Court. The complaint named Keefe D and 100 unnamed John Doe defendants, citing the Netflix documentary and grand jury transcripts as evidence of a broader conspiracy. The family's attorneys wrote that individuals involved in Tupac's murder have avoided accountability for 30 years. Might that be an inroad? Stay tuned. We're gonna keep an eye on that civil suit. None of that changes the math, though. Burroughs is not a firsthand witness to the specific transaction Davis describes. He's a man with his own decades-long legal war against Combs. Lawsuits alleging he was beaten with a baseball bat and forced to sign over his 25% stake in Bad Boy Records. His belief does not fill the evidentiary gap, as compelling as it is. A civil lawsuit operates on a lower burden of proof. That's where we're going to watch that space, than a criminal case. And even that lawsuit names Combs only through unnamed defendants the family hopes to identify through discovery. The documentary surfaces allegations. It does not produce the independent evidence a prosecutor needs to bring a charge. That's the reality. Every road back to Combs runs through one man. And that man is sitting in a Las Vegas jail now, soon to be prison, who was on trial for murder with his own defense attorney, telling the jury he made every single word up. The prosecution's case was built almost entirely on his own statements. The 2008 proffer recording, the 2009 police interview, the BET documentary, the memoir, jail calls. Prosecutors allege Davis told the truth about his role in the Tupac murder, that he orchestrated the retaliation, obtained the gun, rode in his white Cadillac, and passed the weapon to the backseat. Davis is charged with one count of murder with a deadly weapon, and there was a gang enhancement. He's been found guilty. Davis's defense attorney told the jury the opposite. Davis, they say, fabricated everything for leverage, for entertainment, for money, and for fame. He needed a deal in 08, so he invented the story. The director of the BET documentary testified in court that Davis was paid somewhere between $10,000 and $20,000 for his on-camera appearance. Snap told jurors that investigators did not charge Davis after the 08 interview because they did not find him credible. It's because they knew he was full of crap. he said. If that is true, if the people who heard Davis in person walked away unconvinced, then the claim about Combs was born from an unreliable narrator. The foundation was suspect from the first hour. Follow the logic on the Combs question from both directions. Now that the jury has convicted Davis, they've decided his recorded confessions are real. Well, his allegations about Combs might gain some weight as potential leads. It's part of the story. But the allegations still lack independent corroboration. That's the problem. And they come from a convicted murderer with every reason to claim someone bigger was behind it. That's the reality. Murder has no statute of limitations in Nevada. The clock for September 7th, 1996 is not a legal shield. If genuinely new, independent, verifiable evidence ever surfaces, a payment, a witness, a recording that exists outside of Keefe D's own voice, the calculation changes on the day it appears. Combs is serving a 50-month federal sentence at FCI Fort Dix in New Jersey on unrelated charges. He's not charged in this case. He has not been subpoenaed. And the one man whose words could change any of that has not been convicted of the murder that he says he didn't get paid for. The million-dollar question was never whether Keefe D said it. The question has always been whether anyone else can prove it. 30 years in and a conviction? No one has. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Will we ever get that far down the road? Your thoughts there in the comments. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Bruschi, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.